So this is Julia, and I want to welcome you to today's class on ditching your elevator pitch. And I have with me Taya Silvestre of Story Bistro. And I am delighted to have her here because one of the things I love about Taya is that she really gets to the nitty-gritty of what's going on in your business in a way that I think is really meaningful and also straightforward at the same time. But she does it with so much love that you don't really notice how much she's shifting what you're doing because it's not painful. So that's one of the things I've noticed about you. Whenever she gives feedback or whenever she leaves the class, it always comes from this place that is so loving, but it's not fluffy. So like one of the things that I say a lot in this community is that you won't find any fluff from me or from the people I'm bringing in. We're going to be giving you some serious advice and serious help around how to grow your business. So Taya has a business called Story Bistro, and I would love for you just to share a little bit about it, and then I'll share how we met.
Cool. Well, okay, so my business continues to evolve and shift just like everybody else's, and this year I am diving deeper into the whole, rather than helping people with a marketing plan, I'm helping them with their manifesto, their platform, their soapbox. So in terms of storytelling, it's not necessarily just about how to tell a good story, but how to change the story.
Yeah.
So if you are wanting to be a leader in your industry, you have to be willing to embrace that kind of rocking the boat energy and be willing to change the story of what's going on. So that's what we're doing in Story Bistro this year.
That's fantastic. And one of the things I like about Taya is that she's also very driven to be involved in the community. So for example, she held a workshop last year, a live workshop on working on your marketing, and she donated a portion of her sales, which I thought was really fantastic. So I like Taya for a lot of reasons. There are a lot of reasons I like you. We met because we met because a few years ago I was co-hosting a speaker series in Portland, and she came and she spoke to that community. And she also, one of the things I loved about her was that she didn't just email me and say, I'd like to speak. She actually came to the event to find out if it was a good fit and made a point of chatting with me and getting to know me. And, you know, I'm mentioning that because I know many people in our community in the Hive want to be speaking. And for me, as the person who was setting up the speakers, she was the only one who did that. So you're the only one. So, doesn't that blow your mind? Like, isn't that just sort of a basic courtesy? So I'm just mentioning that because Taya did this very small gesture of, hey, I'm going to come check you out and have the courtesy of saying hello and experiencing your meeting before I pitch you. So I'm just making that face because it seems sort of basic to me. I know, right? And then she spoke for me then, and then we've connected on some other things, and then she's speaking here now. So that one little thing she did is growing her business, and it was, such a basic thing. So just so you know, that was a huge thing because hardly anybody else did that.
You know that, and responding to people's emails will get you a lot further than you think.
This basic business stuff that we've all forgotten to do. So anyway, I mention it because it just tells me the kind of person you are, that you bother to follow up and that you bother to check in with people and you want, we had quite a lot of conversations before this call, before this class was happening, because we wanted to make sure it was a good fit for this community. So, I mean, it was all small things on her part, but it made a real difference. And I think it's going to make a real difference for us today. So,
well, thank you for saying all that. I had no idea. So, yeah.
Well, you're welcome.
That goes a long way for me too,
Good.
Yeah.
So, all right. Should we jump into the slides? Are you ready to start talking about ditching the pitch?
I am. Let's do it.
All right. So here I'm learning, everybody. Share the screen. Play. Ta-da! Can you see it? I think you can.
Yeah. So the thing that's funny about what I'm doing right now, I've got a new series called Tipping Sacred Marketing Cows. And one of the things that you'll hear a lot over and over again out in the wilds of the business world is that you need to have an elevator pitch. And if you don't have that elevator pitch down, you know, you, of course, are not going to be successful. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just like, no, please, let's not do that anymore. I'm like the opposite of the elevator pitch lady. I really just want to help you learn how to tell some stories about what you do and have conversations with real people. So
I love it.
Yeah.
Would you like me to advance your slide?
Sure. No, I didn't know if you wanted to say anything about that. Since we
no.
were
well, yes, forth. We can. And I'm probably just going to take my video off. Because I have a person who's trying to get on the call, so I was just going to pop over and help her real quick. But I agree. I think one thing that happens in our industry, so yes, the pitch is like everybody's supposed to know how to say what they do in 20 seconds, and it's supposed to be perfect, and the other person is supposed to be so wowed that they can't wait to hear more. And that's a lot of pressure to, you know, for first meeting someone. And in our industry, we have there are a number of people in our industry who offer a formula. So they have this, what they say is the solution for this problem of not knowing to say how to say what you do, and they call it certain things, and I'm sure everyone knows who I'm talking about, and they're people who I really like, but I just found it didn't work for me. So when I used their formula of like, I help blank by blanking so they can blank and then blank, and I mean, that's like literally the formula, I was like, it didn't help me. So, and I just felt stupid. So I thought, let's have a real conversation about how do we say what we do and how do we do it in a way where we can not feel cheesy, not feel the pressure that they're supposed to think that we're so amazing or whatever afterwards. Like, how do we do it in a way where it just feels a little more natural?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So the next slide is basically a question for you guys, and that is, what do you like most about going to a networking event? If you have to go to a business party or a gathering of some sort, what is it that you enjoy most about that?
And so for those of you who are listening, you can either type into the chat and give us an answer there for those of you who are on through the webcast, or you can raise your hand. So there's a raise hand button, and you literally just raise your hand and it'll tell us that you have something. So I'll also check in the Facebook group to see if anybody has any comments over there.
So does that say Julie doesn't like pimping herself?
Probably.
Okay, but
probably Julie.
Yeah, so Julie, what do you like most about going? Like, what is it that you like? What is it that you enjoy? Not what is it that you don't like? And there's a new one. Yes, most meeting new people. Yes, meeting new people, right? Like actual other human beings who have something interesting to share, some kind of story, right? The connection, it's the, that's the fun part. The part where you feel like you're having to sell yourself or be, you know, a pimp, so to speak, that is not fun at all. And like Julia says, it's a lot of pressure to try and come with some pre-written, you know, script for what you're going to say to people. So I would just ask you to think about kind of not throwing that all together, because we certainly would like to be able to talk about what we do in a way that is thoughtful. And you can go ahead and advance the slide, Julia. The thing that is super important to remember about stories is that they need context, okay? And so if we look at, you know, you guys have probably heard all of the wonderful marketing about why stories are important, right? Why they're important to use in your marketing, in whether you're giving a presentation or you are teaching something or you're writing a blog post, stories work. They work at helping you connect with other people. And they work when you're meeting people at a networking event. But we don't want to be the hog and take up the whole time and, you know, be telling this long story, right? We want to make it a back and forth. So this isn't a one-sided, I'm going to tell you a story, because we need the listener and we need the teller at the same time. If you just remember that stories are really important, and that's kind of the basis for where we're going to go today, then the next piece, which is the next slide, I believe, if I remember correctly, is about the context, right? So if you are having a conversation with your grandmother, it's going to be totally different than if you were having a conversation with a potential client. Yeah? And that's why the elevator pitch just doesn't work, because it doesn't take into account all of the different contextual places that you may be showing up. So the thing, here's how I do it. This is my little trick. I always like to get the other person to talk first so that I can get a handle on who they are and what the context is. So I know, what their goals are. It really helps me have a better conversation if I know who I'm talking to. So if you get that opportunity to say to somebody new first, hey, you know, what do you do when you're not hanging out here at this fabulous business networking event? Then they will tell you a little bit about themselves first. And then they'll naturally ask you what you do, right? And so that gives you the nice little opening to talk about that. Before we get there, though, let's briefly, like super briefly, look at what is a story. So when I'm helping my clients add, you know, engaging stories to their content, the first thing that I have to get through to them is that it's about showing, not telling. So it's the difference between saying, what do you do? I'm a bookkeeper. I just told you I'm a bookkeeper. But if they say, what do you do? And you say, I take people's invoices and I process them. And, you know, you're basically telling a story about what you do versus saying, I do this. Do you see the distinction there? And granted, that wasn't a very interesting description of being a bookkeeper, but what I'm trying to get through is that we don't necessarily want to just tell somebody, I am a health coach, or I am a marketing coach, or, you know, whatever, because that doesn't really paint a picture for anybody. And nobody who, unless they are a health coach, is going to understand truly what it is you do, unless you talk about it in a way that invites people into an experience. So the other piece that's really crucial to storytelling is including the emotion, right? So emotion words like that have to do with feeling. And if you are tapped into what your potential clients are feeling about the challenges they're having, and you include that language in whatever conversation you're having, you're going to invite your listener to that experience in a better way, in a deeper way. So let me just pause there and see if we have any questions so far. Looks like there's a couple of chat that I didn't see down here.
Yeah. So I see that Gail was answering your question too. She said the part she likes is just talking with other people, but then she also says, when you're thinking so much about what you're supposed to say, it takes away from being myself.
Yeah, we just want to be ourselves, right? Okay, so when you show up and you're just yourself, and you know really clearly what it is you do, then it's easy to have a conversation with somebody about that.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
So that's what we want. That's like our goal here, is to get you comfortable with knowing exactly what you do, so that when you are yourself, you can word it in whatever way feels comfortable at the moment, in the moment.
Okay, so can we do just a quick check-in for the people who are on the line? Because I know that when I was there was a point for me where I didn't know what I was doing. Does everybody here feel like they know exactly what they're doing? Or does anybody feel that way? Because I remember when I first started out, Taya, I was like, I help people. Or in the health coaching world, what happens a lot is we often have our own health experience. So we notice that changing our diet or our stress or whatever it is changes our life so drastically. So we can talk about that, but we have a harder time talking about how we switch it to other people. So Gail says, no, she doesn't know exactly what she's doing. So at least wasn't just me.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a very common thing, especially if you're in your first 3 years of business, because you're still experimenting. You're still getting to know who your ideal clients are. We all come to our businesses with this idea of who we think our ideal client is going to be. And then once we do that work, we see that for better or worse, it might be somebody a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I generally tell people not to get freaked out if they don't know exactly what they do.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know exactly how to talk about it. But you should have at least worked with one or two clients that you felt really good about and that you would like that to happen again, right? So a similar type of client.
So Julie says for her, it's continually refining. And I think that's just, you know, you're just saying it takes 3 years to get through. And I totally agree with that. So I think the refining there's a part of the storytelling that's also a refining. And the storytelling can help us refine. And we can also use the storytelling to figure out what is going to work and what won't work.
Yes. Yes. Because as you're talking and having these conversations, you're going to pay really close attention to whether or not somebody's getting it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like if their eyes glaze over and they walk away, then they're either incredibly rude or they don't speak the language, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's why I like to have somebody else talk to me first so that I can get a better idea for context and be able to tell a story that's meaningful to them.
That's like a super ninja trick.
Yeah. It's totally like, especially for if you're introverted at all,
yeah,
it really takes the pressure off.
Yeah, right? It does.
Yeah. Now, if somebody comes to you and tries it on you, you know.
Then you just say, oh, I know that trick. Just kidding.
Yeah. That's right. No, but you hopefully, you know, you have a way in here after we're done to address that.
Oh, I have no doubts, because when you presented to our group last time, everybody loved it and got so much great action items from it. And I just, Julie just popped up another note. She says, I offer two different services that can either blend or be independent. It can be challenging to express how they work together without being overly explanatory. So if we can potentially address that too, that would be really great.
Yeah. Well, and here's the secret, Julie. The secret is you don't have to tell your whole story in one meeting.
I love that secret.
Yeah, you are off the hook. The thing that gets people hung up is they feel like, oh, well, I have these three different services and I need to talk about all of them.
Because what if this person wants all three or they don't know which one they need?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do that. In fact, I would say, you know, it's kind of like dating. You don't want to give away the whole story right up front. Like, save a little bit and be mysterious and have another conversation, right? Like, you can allude to the fact that you do other things. And if the situation is right and the person seems truly interested and wants to hear about the rest, then you can go there. But, you know, don't feel like you have to try and load the whole enchilada with everything.
Okay.
It doesn't work that way.
I love that you've just given us permission, because I think that what happens in these formulas, when we're trying to develop these formulas that say what we do, it's like we have to say the whole thing in one sentence. And like I was saying at the beginning of this call, that is so much pressure to try to communicate everything you do in one sentence. Like, that's nearly impossible.
Yeah, it's kind of like coming up with some kind of sushi roll on the fly, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, put it all together and then roll it up really tight and here you go.
Yes. That is so funny.
Yeah.
So before we keep going, we actually should talk more about your background with food, because this is a community that believes in the power of food. So
yes.
Yeah.
So you may have noticed my branding. My branding includes bistro in the name, and I have for the last, 6 years or so used the theme of food and cooking in my branding because I love to eat, and I love to cook, and I love to eat with friends. And to me, eating in community is really a great metaphor for marketing.
Mm-hmm.
That is what, to me, marketing is about. It's about relationships. It's about sharing stories. It's about getting to know each other and building those, you know, deepening those relationships, whether that's with your family or your neighbors or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing really else. Like, that's the secret to life. That's it. You know? And your business is just a way for you to have those relationships with other people and to learn who you are in relationship to them, you know, to grow. And really, being a business owner is the fastest path to self-actualization if you pay attention.
I don't know if I've ever heard a truer statement.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, find a metaphor that works for you
mm-hmm.
in terms of what you're, you know, what you believe about your business and why it exists and what you're trying to do in the world. And it will be so easy. Like, everything just flows from that for me.
That's awesome. And it fits you so well too.
Thank you. Well, for those of you who live in Portland, I do have a monthly potluck you're invited to. Would love to see you.
I'll make it someday. It's on my list.
I know. You have babies. It's
hard. It's harder. It just, as you know.
I do.
It'll get easier.
It will. Okay. So.
So does anybody have questions about what is a story or about a story versus just a statement? So this idea of showing versus telling. I think you've done a great job illustrating it. But if you do have questions, please feel free to add it to the chat.
Yeah, and I was going to say, this is a perfect opportunity for us to demonstrate what showing versus telling is, right? So, and I did that a little bit kind of lamely with a bookkeeper, but if I tell you I'm a storytelling coach, or I tell you I am a marketing coach, that's telling, right? So if I show you what I do, then I would say something like, you know how when you're running a business and you get really worried about the ick factor of marketing yourself and you really don't want to? Well, what I do is I work with my clients on how to tell the stories that are naturally there already, so that it just becomes a conversation instead of this whole, you know, preconceived strategy thing that they have to carry out. Right? So that's just one, like, off-the-cuff way that I could describe what I do in a storytelling way. So I gave you a little tiny bit of emotion in there, right? It's that aversion to the ick factor that brings up the emotion. So what you want to do is you want to find the emotion that your potential client is feeling about the thing that you help them with. Right? And so I think if you go to the next slide, we'll be much better situated. Yeah, so this is my starter recipe. Now, if you use this, you can use this for anything. You can use this for writing a blog post. You can use it for writing a sales page, an email, a presentation. But really, if you know these five things, then you're set. Really, to say anything about your business. So what is the problem that you solve for your clients? Now, here's where people get stuck. They're like, oh, well, I solve like 12 problems. Yes, okay. So write 12 different blog posts about it, right? But when you're having a conversation with somebody, you want to pick one. So when I talked about one problem, you know, just a minute ago about me being a marketing coach and the clients I work with, the problem I picked was having an aversion or feeling that ick factor about marketing. So I'm talking to people whose problem is, I don't like marketing. Marketing makes me feel bad about myself. It makes me feel like I have to put pressure on people. I don't want to be a used car salesman. Like, there's all of that wrapped up in there, right? That's just one problem. That's not all the problems I solve, but it's one way for me to talk about it to get in the door there. So when we get through these five ingredients, the thing I want to do is take some volunteers and let's work it with you guys and see if we can practice this a little bit, right? So the problem is X. There's a reason why that problem hasn't been solved yet or that desire hasn't been fulfilled yet. A lot of times, you know, the reason it hasn't been fixed is because the person doesn't know how to fix it, right? They may have tried a few things and gotten frustrated and given up, but it may be that they just don't know. It also could be that they haven't had the money or that they're getting pressure from family or, you know, so you know better what the reason is for why that problem hasn't been fixed yet. For me, the reason why people aren't as successful with their marketing as they could be is because of that same problem, which is, I don't like marketing. It makes me feel icky. So I have to help them get over that. I have to help them get over the ick factor. Then you need to be able to talk about what's possible. Like, what is the perfect world vision of what could be happening for that person if the problem was solved? So if you can get over the ick factor of marketing, marketing can be fun again. Marketing can be more like having a fun conversation with a new friend than worrying about whether or not you're going to make a sales goal. And then the fourth thing is, why are you particularly suited to help people with that problem? And this is where, you know, like on your website, especially, you want to talk about these things and why you are specifically and uniquely qualified to do that. And then lastly, it's being able to invite somebody to something. Now, in normal parlance of marketing, we call that the CTA or the call to action. I like to call it the call to adventure because that's more in line with the whole storytelling, you know, shtick. But it is really, if you look at it as if you're inviting somebody to have fun with you, it's so much more easy to go there than to be like, are you ready to give me your money now? You know? Because that's hard.
That is so funny. Have you actually ended a conversation like that? Are you ready to give me your money? I would love it.
I haven't, but I've seen other people do it. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think that's what gives marketing the bad name, because we all feel weird asking for the money. I think that part, when you're not clear about what you're doing, you don't know how to talk about what you're doing, and then now all of a sudden, give me money because I know I can help you, but I'm not really sure how to explain it. This is why I'm so glad that we're talking with you today, because I think that's a key piece of it. And I love it being a call to adventure, because who doesn't want to go on an adventure?
I know, right? So, your call to adventure could be, let's have coffee and talk about it. That's
yes,
easy.
That is easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that happens not only in our industry, specifically in the health coaches world, but also in a lot of online, is that it's like if you don't make the sale immediately, then that means you haven't explained yourself well enough or whatever it is. And I really feel like, maybe there's something going on that you don't know about, or maybe it's just a person who likes to think for a few minutes before they make a decision about where they're going to invest. So I think there's a lot of pressure in terms of having these conversations about what you do. It sort of feels like we're supposed to, anytime we say what we do, we're supposed to be getting a sale out of that. And that's not actually accurate.
It's not. And if I could share just one little story, because
yes,
you know,
please.
Stories. So when I first moved to Portland, I was attending, as one does, various different meetup groups to try and meet new people and, you know, see if that was like my tribe and all of this other stuff. And I met a woman who was selling Legal Shield. Anybody knows about this, but you know, the presentation intrigued me, and I was in a place where I, you know, was just recently married and had a house, and all of these legal things needed to happen. And so it was a right time for me to say, I would like to talk to you. So I asked her to email me. Now, here is the important thing. Listen so carefully to what people say to you. I asked her to email me.
What did she do?
I gave her my business card, and she called me. Okay? Now, my business is set up in such a way that I will not answer the phone, usually, unless we have an appointment or I can see on my caller ID that it's somebody I need to talk to right away. I don't usually just, you know, like, I'm not JCPenney where you can call and like get me on the phone. So she called, she left a message. I replied back via email to her, please set up an appointment on my calendar so that we can talk, because that's how I do it. She called me again. Right? So she did this. I stopped even sending her emails because it was getting ridiculous. But I even said to her, I mean, I was straight with her. I said, look, I'm really upset because you didn't listen to me, and this is the way I work, and I need you to email me and set up an appointment on my calendar because I'm very busy and that's how it works. And she was like, I'm sorry, I just don't do electronics.
Wow. When was this, like 2014?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get on board with the electronics, but interesting.
So this is why context is so important and why listening is so crucial, so that you can hear the clues of what somebody is saying they want and need.
Yeah.
Or where they are.
Yeah.
Right? And these five ingredients are not necessarily all going to be given in a conversation with somebody, because you have to listen and see if it's even right.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to make this call to adventure to somebody unless you're getting a signal that they're saying, yeah, I want to learn more from you. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Right? That's part of it. You're not going to talk about yourself and why you are uniquely suited to solve their problem unless they ask you.
Yeah.
Like, how did you get into this? You know? How, you know, they want to know your backstory. If they don't ask you, don't offer it. It's as simple as that. So this isn't a five steps to closing the sale. This is these are the things that you can watch for and see if, you know, move to the next stage.
Thank you for not being yet another five steps to closing the deal or five simple steps or whatever it is, because it's not, you know, that sounds really great, but when you're building a real business, it just doesn't really work that way. Like, you need to, these conversations that you're having now, even if you're talking to someone who, you know, wants to know more about their business, they might not be thinking of themselves. They might be thinking of their sister-in-law or their cousin or their friend, or just filing the information away. And so if you can just present and talk a little bit about what you do and let go of the idea that you're supposed to make the sale, you just never know where that's going to come back. You never know when that relationship is going to. And that's, you know, relationships for me are very important. I'm a total connector. But when I have this conversation, I'm thinking about, is there potential for a relationship here? I'm not sitting there thinking like, how can I make this sale? And I think that's why I like this and why it's not, why I like so much that it's not the five steps to closing the deal every time or whatever magic formula, because that there's so much inherent pressure there. So then that makes your energy weird, and then you're just awkward, and then then it comes off as awkward, and then people can tell you're awkward, and then all of a sudden you're the awkward girl in the room, and then nobody wants to refer to you.
Right. Exactly. Well, and you know, these five ingredients are really good. It's like a good rule of thumb if you're writing a blog post or you're writing a sales page for your website.
Yeah.
But that's a totally different context, right, from being in a room with somebody.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's why we want to be sure that we do that. It looks like maybe there's some more chats in there.
Yeah. So Julie had said inviting a potential coffee to discuss what their needs and solutions are. Brilliant. So yes, that's, I mean, it can even just be an email exchange or follow-up, like whatever it is. I've noticed that that really helps me with my community. I know that Taya, that's part of why we're connected, because she made an effort and then she followed up and then I followed up. And then, you know, there was a time when she wanted to present to something, but I didn't have any space, but I said, I'll totally keep you for the next thing. And so, yes, I mean, it's, I think that's more, again, it's more relationship based when you're just trying to understand what's going on for the other person.
It is. It's totally. And the thing that is also true is that I didn't try to make my way of doing things, like lay it on top of you and say, no. You know,
you didn't.
So that's, I think, a lot of times where people kind of fall down, because they think, okay, especially in sales, this is very much the case where people have this rhythm that they get into, and it's like, okay, I have to invite people to go to coffee. Well, not everybody wants to go to coffee.
Right.
They're homebodies and they like to stay home, and they would rather get on and talk with you on the phone, right? So you have to listen and see what somebody would prefer. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I get people asking me to come out for coffee, and you know, I live far away from the center of the city. So it takes me 30 minutes to get into town without traffic. I only go out to town maybe twice a month max because of that.
Yeah. Right?
So if somebody's asking me to coffee, it's got to be like super, it's either going to happen on the same day I'm going out for something else, or, you know.
We're so the same. I live in the city and I'm like, I don't want to leave my house or my office. Yeah, but I think that the core difference that we're talking about here is that it's more about creating a relationship. And I'm not saying giving it away for free to everybody. Like, that I don't think is a good solution either. And mm-hmm. It's not like you would go to coffee and you would solve all the problems in that coffee meeting. But, you know, it's just, it's less pressure. And if you genuinely want to pursue a relationship, that's the time way to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, even though there are people in town who I might see them as a potential client, I'm still much more likely to ask them if they'd like to have a phone call. Because
yeah.
I'll say, you know, I do these free 20-minute sessions. We can get a lot done in 20 minutes. I can usually answer, you know, like one question for you. We can do that over the phone, easy peasy. Usually, you know, if you're going out for coffee, it's going to take you a while to get there. You're going to be there for probably close to 45 minutes, and then you got to go back home. So that's a big chunk of your day.
Yeah.
And usually you're not going to do that unless it's a different kind of relationship that you're trying to form with a potential referral partner or, you know, a peer or something.
Yeah.
So, but you get the idea. Yeah.
So while we're on the topic, I want to just bring something up that happens in our industry and get your take on it, because I obviously have some opinions. And then what happened on the chat, just so you know, is that I had asked if anyone was open to being the guinea pig and workshopping with you. So Julie, maybe. and I, you know, if anybody else wants to, feel free to pop into the chat or PM me, and I'll, if you're on the phone, and I will bring you in. But so one of the things, while we're on this topic of these meetings and how do you connect with potential clients, and I know you still have a lot of content that you want to talk about, but one of the things that our industry strongly recommends is a free health history. So the school that most of us, the nutrition school most of us went to, they're like, oh yeah, just do a free health history with people. And so you're supposed to send people this like 12-page form, or it was when I was in school, it was really long, and ask them about like everything, like their dad's health history, their grandmother's health history, like their emotional, it's so intense. And so people graduate school and they're like, okay, well, I'm out giving free health histories. Well, that ends up being like a 90-minute commitment, and I hate it. So you give a 20-minute consult, which I, you know, in general, I don't like it when people give things away for free, but I think that a 20-minute consult is really different from saying, here's a free health history, or here's a free XYZ. So I'd love to know what your thoughts are around that.
Yeah. Okay. So The thing is that if you're going, it's all dependent on what you're selling ultimately, right? So
yep.
What is the value of a client to you in terms of, you know, approximate dollars? So if you did a health history with them and then they bought a package from you, how much is that package worth? You know, and so you look at it in those terms. Because what we usually do in marketing budgeting is we say, especially when you're in the first 3 to 5 years of your business, that you want to spend somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 50% of your assumed gross revenue on marketing. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
And if you don't have that money, then you have to put in the time, right? So you have to look at what is your time worth dollar-wise and how much of your time are you willing to put in versus spending money on Facebook ads or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. If you are in the service profession like you are, then the product you're selling is you. And the only way that people are going to know, like, and trust you enough to give you their money is to see you in action, to see you either speaking or to have a session with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would, if it were me, I would automate that whole health history thing. I would put that sucker on my website and say, go fill it out, you know, and it would generate some kind of form and it will send it to me and then we'll sit down and we'll talk for 20 minutes. So that you aren't having to spend 90 minutes with them doing all of that, right? Because, no, I wouldn't recommend anybody give away 90 minutes. Ever.
It's too long. And I also think it's too long for your client because what I like about what you said is let's do a 20-minute consult. Then you said, we will get a lot done. And then you said, I'll be able to answer a question for you. So now what's interesting about it is you said answering one question is getting a lot done. That's a subtle statement that you made, but it is getting a lot done. Like if somebody really has a burning health question and you're able to solve it for them in 20 minutes or like
Taylor. Even less, 15 minutes.
Yeah,
usually.
That's actually way, way, way better than doing a long 90-minute drawn out because nobody wants to wait 90 minutes for the solution. Do you like, does anybody like being at the DMV for 90 minutes to get their photo retaken? Nobody likes it. Nobody wants to waste their
Hell
time.
Hell no. Yeah.
You go into the DMV and in 15 minutes they can solve your problem. You're pretty happy and you like the DMV that day. It's the same thing with our work. I know that's sort of a funny example to use, but that's, I think, where we get so caught up and stuck sometimes is we feel like we have to give so much value, but actually sometimes you can give better value by being faster.
Absolutely, because my time is precious. Yes, my health is precious, absolutely, but before I decide whether or not I'm going to invest with you, I would rather have a smaller taste and have it be really super powerful than to put aside 90 minutes of my day to do that. And, you know, when people make an appointment with me, they do. They fill out a small little questionnaire that basically says, where are you now? Where do you want to be? What's stopping you from getting there? What would you like to talk about?
And that's all you need.
And that's all I need.
Four questions.
Yeah, and that's all done before we even talk to each other. So I don't have to sit there and listen to their whole history before we get to the problem.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to check in with you because I had a feeling, because actually Taya and I have not actually talked about that before, but I had a feeling you might have a different solution that could also be an option.
Yeah.
That might be more effective.
Use your website. That's what it's for.
Yes. Okay. Should we do some workshopping? Is that what our next step is? Or
I think so. Yes.
So Julie, are you still okay with potentially being the person?
You can go ahead and go to the next slide just in case. I don't know. I don't remember what was there.
So I'll wait for a second for Julie to see if she's okay with that. In a horrified sense.
Okay. So what do you...
Okay, let me unmute you because I'm laughing too hard from that comment. All right. Unmute. Hello, Jeannie.
Hello.
How are
you? Can you guys hear me?
We can. Yeah.
Good. How are you?
We're doing well. We're enjoying this conversation, I think. At least I am.
I am as well. This is good. Good.
Yeah. So, Julie, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pretend that you and I are at a business networking event, and I've just saddled up to you with my cocktail in hand, and I'm all, hi, so what do you do when you're not here making loads of friends? And all I want you to do is I want you to think about the last client that you really loved working with and what he or she, what the problem was. And then, you know, very succinctly, like in one or two sentences, how you helped that person get through or get over that.
Okay. Yeah. So
what do you do?
what do you do
when you're not here?
Oh, well, I work with people to extract what they're holding in their bodies and their hearts, and I help them bring that forward so they can move forward in their life. I know, that did not even come out right. You know what? That's why I wrote down in a horrified sense, because once you're on the spot like that, everything, you're like, what? Oh, my God, I can hear my heart beating in my ears.
Okay, so Julie, tell me about this last client. Just tell me about the client.
My last client works with people who are dying. And so her deep down heart space was asking for her own personal care. So basically I extract that what people are not wanting to confront, but they know they need to, their body holds it, I feel it, hear it, whoop, and we address it and find solutions.
Okay, so let's talk like normal human beings now and not life coaches, because this is really important. So
all right.
You are working with this person who has this really sensitive thing going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was this a lady or a man? Was it a lady?
A woman.
A woman. Yeah. Okay, so she was working with people who were dying. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to say, you know how when you're working with someone who's dying and, right? That's
right.
Not good. No, we don't want to do that. So this is where you would say, like, have you ever known anyone who worked with a really vulnerable population, like maybe in a hospice? Right?
Mm.
So we're talking about this in, we're not going to be specific to her situation necessarily, but we're using her as the model for the storytelling. So we're getting the setting here. Have you ever known anyone who worked with a really vulnerable population, like in a hospice? And then your counterpart to your conversation goes, yeah, you know, my sister used to do that. Yeah. And you go, yeah. And well, when you're doing that kind of work, you can tend to like shut off your emotions so that you could deal with that, right, on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
They go, yeah, she did that. She got really good at that. Well, the work that I do is I sit down with them and help them kind of unlock all of those, you know, break down all of those walls and figure out what it is they've been kind of not looking at or hiding from, and then we work through it together. And then I would say something like, really, how do you do that? You know, and then we're having this conversation about what you do, and then you're using words like, I extract it, right? Because that sounds like I went to the dentist.
Right. Okay.
So I'm talking about, you know, using real words like everyday people would use.
Okay. So it's funny because, I mean, I use those words every day, like that type of vocabulary often. So that's interesting to hear that perspective because, you know, perhaps my mind subconsciously automatically goes into some form of a coaching mode or, you know, healer mode. So, you know, to bridge that gap and find a comfortable piece that's me, that's still explaining or speaking, that is something I will need to take a little note of.
Well, I mean, there's a trick that a lot of marketing people use, and that is, how would you explain it to somebody who's 7 years old?
Okay. Oh, I like that.
They're going to have a totally different vocabulary, you know, than, and this is not just you, Julie. This happens to everybody. It's called jargon, you know?
Okay.
And what we want to do is we want to get away from jargon, and we want to talk in as basic language as we can to help people understand the process of what we're doing with people.
Mm-hmm.
So does that make sense? You think you could have a conversation like that if you were at an event somewhere?
Well, I guess if I start looking at them like they're 7-year-olds, I think I could.
Well, yeah, I you mean, know. Whatever it takes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really do. That particular sentence and concept absolutely simplifies the whole management in my head. So I really appreciate that. That was good.
You're welcome. And, you know, so if you ask the question, like, have you ever known anyone who worked in a hospice situation or worked with a vulnerable population, and they say no, then you can say, well, you could still continue with the conversation and still say, well, this is what I do. It's just that if you let them kind of imagine who they know and who they, you know, whether it's a friend or a family member or a coworker or whatever, oftentimes you might be surprised that it was them.
Okay.
And then you're, you know, you're really going to have a rich conversation.
Okay.
Because they'll be able to relate, you know. They'll be like, yeah, I know. I was, the only way I could deal with it was to just turn off all my emotions and not, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will definitely need to give that consideration as far as how I, as far as how I phrase things, word things, and you know, and even on my website, you know, I mean, that right there gives me pause to be kind of like, wow, am I, you know, this is such a, you know, not cold, but it's, you know, where's the warmth? So, and personalization. So that is something to take a look at.
When we look at storytelling in general, it's much more effective when you can be specific to a particular situation or a particular character than it is to say kind of on a broad stroke that I do this kind of general thing with all of these people. If you can really just focus your mind on, I'm writing this page just for this one type of person, you will find it easier to get a first draft out that has the much better language, you know.
Okay.
And then if you can have somebody who's not in your field read it and see if they understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Then that's really helpful.
Okay. And so I have a quick question.
Yeah.
So using my own language, I mean, I would, and now that we've got the 7-year-old in the picture, that just makes it easier. I mean, really, I would almost liken it to the fact that, you know, when you're, because I think this can go any age, but really it's like when you're holding on to an emotion, I mean, when you're stuck. So if you're 7, you know, and somebody took your toy and you can't get over that feeling of wanting it back and it just festers on the inside of your body, you know, I don't know. It
makes it so much easier for me to understand what you're doing. Yeah. Because I didn't even know, are you doing some kind of psychic surgery? Like, what are you doing here? You know, it could be interpreted in many different ways. So that's why you're specific and talk about like how you whatever extraction is, like, what is the extraction process? Are you talking through with people? Are you doing hands-on healing? Are you doing a combination? Right? So all of those things need to be spelled out. Otherwise, people are going to look at you and they're not going to understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love it. Thank you for being willing, Julie.
Phew, it's okay. I'm sweating bullets over here.
Yeah. Does anybody else want to play?
You know what? Yes, someone does. Gail does. But I also will say I appreciate that both Julie and Gail have offered to do this because Gail also has said she's sweating bullets. But the reality is, like, we have to go out and do this. So that's part of why this I want to do it in this space, because it's a lot easier to sound silly here and to be not sure what we're saying, so that the next time we go out and practice, then we feel a little bit more confident. And I would rather us, like, feel a little bit stupid here together, where it's all a community of friends, than going out to a networking event and being like, ah, forget it, leaving and hating it. So,
yeah,
exactly. Okay. All right, so I'm going to unmute Gail. Hello, Gail.
Hello, Julia.
Hi, Gail. Hi.
Hi.
So, Gail, tell us what you do. What is it that you do?
Okay, mine is always changing. Mm-hmm. So I like to work with women 40 plus that are going through transition that want to make changes in their life. And many of them say they don't feel good. That's the sort of broad description that they give me. So I want to help women get back their dream so that they can live the dream that they want to be living and feel good while they're doing it.
Okay, so now I want you to go really specific and tell me about the last client you worked with who was awesome that you want more of.
Let's see.
What was her challenge?
She wanted to start living healthier, to feeling better, having more energy. Her specific phrase was she was tired of feeling like a zombie.
Okay. And why do you think she was feeling like a zombie? What was happening in her life to make her feel like that?
I think she was just not taking care of herself. She wasn't getting enough sleep. She was taking on too much in her job, and she was just unhappy with her relationship. She liked her job, but she had too much responsibility, and she wasn't taking care of herself. She wasn't eating breakfast. She wasn't going to bed early enough. She wasn't taking any time for herself.
Do you know why she wasn't doing that?
Well, as we talked, I think it was because she didn't care enough about herself. She wasn't loving herself enough.
So there wasn't anything, it wasn't an external reason. There was nothing in her life that was causing her to not take care of herself.
No.
It was more internally motivated.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. So in this instance, if I saddle up to you with my cocktail and I say, "Hi, I'm Taya. What's your name?" And you say,
"So you know when you are working too much and you are go through every day feeling like a zombie. Have you ever known anyone who felt that way?"
Yeah, so you would probably choose either one or the other. You don't need to choose. Those are just two options for how to get started.
Oh, okay.
When somebody says, what do you do? So if I say to you, Gail, so nice to meet you. What do you do when you're not here? Hanging out, having fun.
Okay. So, you know, are working too much and you're not taking care of yourself, I help you learn to incorporate things that help you feel better so you can live the life you love living.
Okay, so you're almost there. You're almost there. What we're missing is a little bit of the mental, emotional stuff that's going on in somebody's head about not taking care of themselves. Right? So it could be, because this could be a sensitive topic for somebody, they're probably not going to admit to you, a perfect stranger, that they don't love themselves, because that's not something I would normally tell somebody right off the bat. But you could say, you know how have you ever known anybody who was working so hard, like, you know, maybe 60 hours a week, and they just weren't taking care of themselves, and they couldn't really find the willpower or the motivation to give themselves the self-care that they needed to eat right and exercise?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, what do you do with them? Do you talk to them? How do you get them to change that? What is the process that you do?
So this is where, in the process, I always start doing the whole, well, what we do is we get together and talk twice a month, and I would make suggestions that you could incorporate, that could be incorporated in your life, that would create more energy, help you sleep better, to help you to, so that you can start feeling good again and having more energy.
Okay, so that's, you're getting there. Typically the conversation would go something like, you know, well, have you ever known anybody who was working really hard and probably way more hours than they should be, and they weren't exercising and they weren't eating right, and they just felt lousy, and they just, but they couldn't figure out how to get motivated to change all of that? Well, I work with people like that to help turn that around. And then my part of the conversation usually would go something like, really, that sounds interesting. How do you do that? And that's when you get to say, usually we talk a couple times a month. We come up with a plan together and we work through that, and we make it easy. You know, I don't try to give them like this whole new life in one day, but we incorporate things a little bit at a time so that they can see how easy it is.
Mm-hmm. This is so much better.
Right? But you can see that there has to be a little bit of back and forth there.
Yes.
You have to pause and give them a chance to say, wow, that sounds interesting. How do you do that?
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. That's much easier.
I think the key is for everybody to take away is to slow down. Like, slow down, pause, give the other person a chance to talk, to ask you a question, and it will naturally go to that place where you get to talk about it in a way that makes sense. And it's, you know, it's, but be as specific as you can. So this is the homework that you have to do before you get there, is you have to decide, like, what are my three most fabulous clients that I could use as stories, right?
Okay.
And what is the process that I would talk about? What did I do with them specifically? Like, what was the challenge that we were trying to get through, and how did I do that? And then, but don't try to say all of that in the first sentence. You have to, again, you have to listen for the pauses and let the other person ask you.
Okay, great. Yeah. Great. Very good.
Okay, thank you, Gail. I sense a note of relief in your voice.
Yes. Good. It's much easier being yourself.
It's much easier being yourself, isn't it? It's true.
Yes.
Okay, thank you for being brave and for stepping up to do that. Okay.
Yes, thank you, Gail.
Thank you. Okay, I've muted Gail again. So that was great. I think you helped two people massively, Taya, and it also has me just thinking about, like, I love the 7-year-old example, and, you know, yeah, slowing down makes a lot of sense.
Breathe. You know, don't get nervous, like, it's just another human being that I'm having a conversation with.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, you just said that, but I just want to really make a note of what you just said, which is it's just another human being that I'm having a conversation with. So taking away that, you know, a lot of us have invested in coaching programs that are like, I have the solution and this is the solution you must use. And it is this formula and this is how you do it. And the thing is, if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. And that doesn't mean anything about you. It just means it doesn't work. So I think if we can bring it back down to this human level of like, I'm just talking to someone else. That's all this is. It makes it so much easier.
Yeah. Talking and listening. Like, again, I can't even tell you how powerful the listening is. Like, if you give the other person a chance to talk first, then you're going to have all of that context with which to add to the conversation and not feel stupid. Like, totally.
Yeah. Okay. So next slide.
Yeah.
Okay. There.
Oh, we're done. Here I am. Yeah, so if anybody wants to play with that a little bit and wants to brainstorm some of that with me, I'm happy to do a 20-minute session. You can find that on my website under Work With Me. It's really easy.
Yeah, and for those of you who are in Portland, Taya does a number of things, and she also does it's over the summer, isn't it? Your live event?
The soiree.
Yeah. Are you doing it again?
I think I'm not doing it this year because I'm doing something different. But.
Okay. So I'm just mentioning it because she used to live stream it. So even if you're not in Portland, there are other ways to interact. And I always enjoy my time with you because it's productive. Like, I feel like I've learned something. Both Julie and Gail have said, thank you. This is so great. We've learned. And I know other people are getting the benefit of it. They just can't. They just can't post into this group. So does anybody have any other questions or anything else they want to say? Where I'm happy to, you know, spend a few more minutes on the line. But I think this was such a nice alternative to what we're taught in this online model. And there are a number of teachers in our industry that are very, they just do it really differently than I do it. And I just think it doesn't work for everybody. So, and it's not that I'm perfect or anything. It's just that sometimes we hang on to this idea that we're supposed to do it this way when there's actually more than one way. There's more than one solution.
Always. There's always more than one way.
Yeah.
Don't ever buy into any marketing hype that tells you they have the solution. No, there's no such thing as the solution or the anything.
And you have to buy it now or in the next 10 minutes. The price is going up by 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's more than one solution. There's more than one way to do it. And there's lots of options. And I would love to have everybody just make a mental note of committing to practice this over the next week. So when you see people out in public, when you see, you know, when you go to a networking event, just practice. And if it's not perfect, it's totally okay. And I have been known to, I'll go to networking events and I'll just be like, well, tonight I'm going to say this and I'll see how it goes. Or tonight I'm going to say that and I'll see how it goes. And it's not always perfect. You know, sometimes I like look at someone and I can see that they're like, they totally did not, they don't even want to engage with me. But you just have to practice. You'll get better as you practice and it won't always be perfect.
No, and the more that you work with clients and the more that you pay attention to them and what they tell you has been helpful to them, the more that you can kind of clue into what you should be saying when you're telling the stories.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And I think the tip to think of your favorite clients, anytime I do that, it's like I already put myself in a better space because then I already feel successful because I've had this client who was so great and they think that I was so great. And so then the whole tone of the conversation changes from the start.
Yeah.
So if you do nothing else, like, just think of that. So Julie is messaging again. She's saying, perfect. Thank you so very much. Love the homework and all this food for thought. You're welcome.
Nice pun use. That was good, yeah. Julie. Yes.
So is there anything else you want to say, Taya, before we disconnect for today?
No, that's all I have for you today. I wanted to ask you personally, do I get to share this recording as well?
Or would you like to?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't I I check. Let me check with the people who presented and make sure that they're okay with it, and then I'll connect with you about it.
Okay. That's fabulous. That's all I can ask.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And again, Julie and Gail, thanks for stepping up and being willing to workshop. And I'm really looking forward to hearing how this turns out for everybody. And again, Taya, you're amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your perspective. All right, everyone.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Bye.